Blog Talk
Radio. Hey, everybody. I do it every week. This don't make no sense. I do this every week. Hey, everybody. This is Mecca from the VIP with Unique and Mecca. And, of course, I have my sis on the other end of the studio.
What's
welcome,
up?
Welcome.
What's up?
Now, sis, you know we usually try to get to this red carpet. We don't have a red one no more. We get to the pink carpet a little early. And we've been a little bit late to the carpet these past, for a couple of weeks now. But at least it's our party. Mm-hmm. You know, they say it's your party. You can cry if you want to.
We can do what we want to do.
it's my. No, okay. Everybody's talking. Oh my goodness, man! It's ironic.
Let me break out the show.
That Bobby would even come up for a show like this. But sis, I'm excited about this show because it's definitely a topic that we've never discussed. It's definitely a very needed and important topic. And I know we do a lot of focusing on things that we think are needed to discuss, that people might not discuss a lot, and we feel they should discuss it a lot, or whatever the case may be. And we have a few topics that we always like to revisit, which we will be revisiting some of those that we didn't yet. And I think that this should also be one of them as well. There are so many
men
out here.
I actually think we kind of did visit it when we had Rashid and Rudy on. It was kind of,
right,
we kind of
right,
talked
to
about
a degree,
it.
Yep, to a degree, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, and I kind of thought about that too. But, you know, there are so many men, sis, who love their children unconditionally.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't think, I'm not going to say that I feel as though they should be congratulated for it because, I mean, that's your child. You don't congratulate women.
They're doing
women.
Their job. Yeah.
They're doing their job. But I think that there should be a highlight on men who love their children, who would do anything for their children, who are the perfect definition of a father. And then it's like, what is that? Because at the same time, parenting doesn't come with a manual, but you do your best. And so I feel like it should be highlighted a lot more than it is, you know, because usually you hear the complete opposite and people want to talk bad about, you know, males. And they want to shine more of a negative light on fathers. And, I mean, rightfully so if the shoe fits. But I feel like it overshadows, you know,
the dads
who are, right, who want to be there for their children, who are there for their children. So, you know, I'm glad that we are talking about this. And I kind of bumped into the opinionated male. I just saw Cortino on. All right. So he's here in the building. I know you can hear us, Cortino. Thank you so much for being here. We're just going to do a little bit of prerequisites and then definitely open the line for you because we definitely have some questions for you. But, yes, sis, I think you know, the light needs to be shed more on these dads who are doing an awesome job as fathers.
Definitely.
Like I said, parenting doesn't come with a manual, but for as much as people know how to shed or shine the light on all the things that males do wrong, right? You know, because there's some mothers out there that, you know, could be equally as off as some men, but you know, we don't shine the light on them as much. So this is the opportunity to say, hey, you know, there are some great fathers out there, you know, who just want to parent their children. So,
yes.
I know, sis, I don't know if you wanted to chime in real quick, but we are 3 minutes in. We have not introed. So, you know, I don't know if you had anything that you wanted to go ahead and, you know, share where that was concerned.
I definitely wanted to actually shine a light on my husband because he's an amazing father. And before we had our three children, he was a great dad to his daughter. And it would be so mm-hmm. funny to me because she lived down south and her mother would call him to discipline her for things that
mm-hmm.
she didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, this is crazy. Like, you're there in the house with her. How can you not have control over her? Like, I never understood that. And it would just be simple things that he would say to her. And his word was bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't relate to that because I didn't have my dad in my life growing up. So that was amazing to me to see the relationship
right.
that he had with his daughter.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
You know, it's somewhat hard. It can be hard, you know, when you get into another relationship. And sometimes I think that plays a lot of, you know, it plays a role in relationships that fathers have with their children too, depending on the woman that's in their life. And he explained to me, like, listen, you know, you and my daughter's mom, y'all don't have to be best friends, but I think it's very important for you guys to establish a relationship together for the sake of these children. And we have nothing but respect for each other. So it's so many
mm-hmm.
dynamics that go into, you know, having a healthy parenting relationship.
Absolutely.
And it's
well,
just,
all right.
It's just something. But we'll I want to hear what the guys got to say. So, fellas, hold
well, without
right.
further ado,
what we're gonna do, yes, we're gonna intro into our show, and we wanted to play a quick song, real quick. And then we'll come back to the opinionated men. We'll come back with you guys.
Thank you for joining VIP with Unique and Mecca, two urban, compassionate, and sassy hosts who believe that everyone is a VIP through trial and triumph. Before we get started, we like to share the house rules. Please respect the views and opinions of others, even if you don't agree. Please avoid tea spilling on the pink carpet as we want to keep our VIP area litter-free of judgment toward one another. And finally, please have fun and be inspired. Let's get it started.
All right, all right. We're going to go straight into Beyonce, Daddy. And like we said, after we return from Beyonce, we are definitely going to have our first guest from Opinionated Men come on and shed some light on this topic. So while we're standing by, and I'm pulling up Beyonce, I just want to first and foremost thank Opinionated Men because this was kind of sort of last minute, but they're here. I got a chance to talk to both Mr. Sobo and Cortonio this week as well. So I'm just excited about what they have to bring to the table. Now, Beyonce giving me a hard time here, but it's all good.
Uh-uh.
Yes, she is. I'm going to have to tell the Beehive to check her. What's going on? We having a, what was it, I feel
see,
like,
that,
who was
that,
it, 702?
That negative.
702
yeah,
moment.
That's that negative. Uh-huh, that's that negative thing, you know, that's something, that's a positive song.
Of course.
That's the universe.
She gonna have to be on hold for a second, cause I need to hear. Okay.
Here we go.
right, so I see we have also Marv Mill in the building. So I'm going to open up the lines real quick. I'm opening up the line to opinionated men first. So welcome, welcome, Cortonio. Am I pronouncing it right? Because, you know, we
you
got
are.
So it's our
conversation. You are pronouncing it.
Okay, good. Because we got so into our conversation this afternoon, I didn't even go there, you know. So I just want to make sure that I have it correctly. So,
oh, yes, you are.
And Marcel, 365 men, dads, thank you also. We see that you're here. Just stand by. First and foremost,
thank you, Antonio, for joining us.
You're welcome.
Right.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
That means we got Boston and New York in the building. That's what that means, because that's all is, you know, Boston, our guest, New York, the host. So quickly, if you can just tell us what the opinionated male is. I know what it is, but you can explain it better than I can.
All right. Well, this is Cortonio. Unfortunately, Mr. Sobo wasn't able to join us. He had a prior obligation, but I'm here on both of our behalves. I'm the kind of person, we've known each other a very long time, and we both like to read a lot of different articles and read different sites on the things they discuss. And we kind of put our heads together and said, a lot of these articles kind of, you know, they're not as totally and brutally honest as we think they should be. Like, they, you know, they pull a lot of punches. They tend to be, you know, pandering to not offend anyone's feelings. So we said, you know what? Let's start up a blog site and call it Opinionated Mail, where we're totally unadulterated. You know, we pull no punches. And we even put a disclaimer that, you know, if you're offended, I mean, it is what it is. You know, although, you know, we don't call women out their name or anything like that. But, you know, we're just very, very opinionated on what we say. So we started in January of 2013. We've written about, we have guest writers as well that, you know, that come in with articles. But in total, we have about 200 articles up. And we're on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest. We're on Twitter. So, you know, we have a lot of avenues as far as what we do. But, you know, and I went to school for journalism and communication, so that's right up my alley anyway. So that's pretty much the origin. To get into this discussion real quick, just a little plug. We did have a few articles that touched on this. So, you know, the listeners out there, you can take a look at our site. And the two articles that we have that touched on tonight's topic, one of them was called To Conceive or Not to Conceive Out of Wedlock. That is a question. So kind of a play on Shakespeare. And the other one is called It Ain't About You, How Couples Can Be Better Parents After the Breakup. So that's, you know, two articles that kind of pertain to what tonight's discussion are. So, you know,
right.
Listeners out there can check us out. And
right. I also feel that you had, now I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect of 10 things that men could do to parent their son, something to that effect.
Yes. You're right. We do have one up there. It's called 10 things every father should teach their sons, and we have one, 10
right.
things every mother should teach their daughters. Yes, I almost forgot about those.
Right. Okay. So I am going to. I have a couple of the questions I have are kind of the same for you and also Marv Neal. So I'm gonna open the line for Marv Neal as well, and I would like you, Marv, to pretty much tell us the same thing. How did 365 Dad come about?
What up?
And
what
thank
up?
You for being
How
here, Marv. Great.
You said New York and Boston's in the house. You know, well, you're supposed to say Boston and New York is in the house.
No. New York comes
first. Time. Thank you.
New York comes first, son.
New York never comes first. You kidding me? Are you kidding
New York
me?
Is always.
We gotta
Y'all
argue.
See, listen,
so, Cortonio, let me just say this really quickly, right?
Let me say this: our sports teams are better. I'll say that much. Our sports teams are better.
No, the Yankees are always better. Now, doubt
it's gonna
that.
Be better just because he's New York, but
check the championship, buddy.
I mean,
a
lot of time I check the Jets and Giants ain't doing a whole lot.
Let me just say this, right? Hey, listen.
They cheat anyway.
Yo, listen. Listen. You keep y'all keep on screaming. Y'all keep screaming the Patriots are cheating, right? But I guess they've been cheating every Super Bowl, right? I guess the Celtics have been cheating too, right? Come on. Let's call it what it is.
I mean, you know, they don't call us a city of champions for nothing. They don't call us title town for nothing.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And that, you understand. So this is where the genesis of it is. And, you know, we don't really care. But back to the topic at hand.
Here you go.
I see a couple of Boston
Sinatra
in the building. Hey, Boston. I see someone else from Boston in the building. But that's right.
Yeah,
Mom,
so listen, no, Boston, that's probably my people. That's probably my people trying to get in on the conversation. If you see 617, it's my folks.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, we don't have the stereotypical Boston accent either.
Okay.
Y'all don't have it, but the rest of y'all do. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, me personally, like, I don't say car and park and retarded.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's okay that you don't say Boston.
Listen, y'all love y'all coffee and strawberries, right?
Listen, I didn't say everybody got to ask me from wherever they come from. It's all good.
So listen, let me just say this, right? We definitely appreciate New York hosting us, but, you know, when
absolutely.
It comes down to the come down, everybody understands that Boston's number one. That's all.
That's your opinion, Mr. Neal.
Actually, it's not an opinion.
Right.
It's a fact. I mean, come on. When's the last time the Knicks won a championship? When's the last time the Knicks made it to the playoffs?
When last time the Knicks even been to the playoffs?
Brooklyn don't win.
Oh, and your Brooklyn Nets. Your Brooklyn Nets. They're doing pretty good, too. Last time I checked, didn't we, like, swindle 2 first-round picks from y'all? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Hey,
like
so,
I said, I don't do sports. It don't matter to me. Mr.
Did
me.
You, listen, did you open up the line for my people?
I'm asking you a question. I did not open up the line for your people yet.
Okay.
I will as soon as I get my answer from you. But since we had to argue over which city was best.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So pretty much I asked what, and we know the truth, so we don't have to argue about that. But I was asking,
you can't go.
What was the genesis of 365 Dad? So how did that come to be?
Okay, so 365 Dad came to be because I've been doing fatherhood work for, quite some time. And, I know that just from the work that I've been doing that there's still a lot of work that needed to be done. And there are some areas that were being missed. So men in general were just getting really getting the short end of the stick on a lot of different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
So what I was thinking is, you know what, we need to be able to do something so that, men can come up once in a while here and
mm-hmm.
there. There weren't that many shelters. There really were no shelters for men with families. You know, if the family
mm-hmm.
Ran into an issue in regards to housing, you show up at the shelter and they say to you, oh yeah, we can take in mom and the kids, but dad has
mm-hmm.
to go somewhere else. That
mm-hmm.
was just the norm. So with that in mind, I'm thinking, we got to do something. So I actually, started looking at ways to be able to help and came up with this idea to sell T-shirts. So I took that idea, began selling, designed some T-shirts to begin to sell, and then I talked to my man X, and I said, listen, I'm going to do this. I want you to be a part of this. And, you know, it just kind of went from there. I pulled my man X and Wale into the fold. As time went on, we pulled Patrick and Conrad into the fold to be able to, you know, get this whole 365 dad thing going. And it really, it started off as a T-shirt company, and then it just grew from there to, you know, being more socially inclined to help fathers and families. And the goal really is to help men to get in a better place in their lives with their children and teach them, you know, how important they are, because a lot of men don't understand their importance. They don't understand the importance of their role as father, whether they're in the home or outside of the home. You know, they just really don't understand. So it's our, you know, we feel like it's our job, it's our duty, our solemn duty to teach these men, you know, to know how mm-hmm. important it is. You know, to be involved in their children's lives in a positive way. So yeah, that's
absolutely
that's
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna open. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, that's it. That's it.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna open
so
a line
I'm
for
going...
your peoples. Does your peoples have a name?
Patrick should be on the line. Yes.
Patrick, is that you, Patrick?
Yeah, it was me. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Patrick.
Thanks for
Thank
calling
you for
in,
joining
Patrick.
The VIP. Yeah,
I appreciate
yes.
You.
So you talked a little about, well, you kind of ended off, Marv, with, you know, men not really understanding the importance of, you know, parenting or whatever it could be. I have the same question for all of you. And because so as a female, even though I'm not a mother, but as a female, I see some of the vindictive things that women do, using their children as pawns and, you know, things of that nature, which makes it.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay.
My question to the three of you would be, what if to a dad that's having difficulty in the area of co-parenting because of the fact that, you know, they may be having, you know, a discrepancy with the mom? I don't know who wants
Anybody
to take
want
that
to
one first, but.
I can chime in. This is Cortonio. Can you restate the question? The first part sounded kind of choppy.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you restate part of the first question again?
I said, pretty much, what advice would you give to a dad who's having difficulty in the area of co-parenting? So what I started off by saying is that, you know, oftentimes you have mothers using their child as a pawn.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, kind of sort of coming in between the relationship between the father and the child. So what advice would you give to a father who's having those type of co-parenting issues?
Well, it kind of depends. I mean, when you say difficulties, are we talking about, like, is the father seeing the child consistently, but the mom is just being difficult? Is he not seeing the child that much? You know, so difficulties as far as him not seeing the child or rarely seeing the child?
Using the child as a pawn.
Well,
so,
I mean, how I look at it is this. I just think that, you know, and it's unfortunate a lot of men get caught up in that. I just think the best thing to do is just do what you can. So let's say, for instance, you and the mom have an agreement. All right, you pick up Sheila every Friday or every Saturday and Sunday, you know, from 12 to 4. And you're doing that, but then she'll come up out the blue and say, oh, she's sick. Oh, we have plans. Like, she starts doing things to kind of deny your time. All you can do is just stick to your end and be as consistent as possible. Because the last thing a man wants to give a vindictive mom is any kind of ammunition. So the best you can do is just do what you can do. You know, you stay consistent. You give money when need be, or if there's no child support taken out. You just see the child, pick up the child, just do whatever you can do. and me, I'm not a proponent of the court system, but, I mean, if you have to go to the courts, you can get something more substantial and more concrete, then that may be an avenue you might have to explore.
Definitely. Great answer. Mars, can you answer that question?
I'm sorry, I had to mute my phone so that y'all don't catch all the noise in the background over here.
You in the 99 cent store again?
Oh, so you can't, you playing. Let me go on the other phone.
You got jokes.
Hold on.
By the way, I didn't know Beyonce sang such songs, man. I mean, all that, you know, between surfboards and putting a ring on it, I didn't know she was that thoughtful as far as singing songs.
That was from the first album. Yeah, she has a lot of great songs that's other, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, sex and crazy stuff.
And you know what? I don't want to digress, nor do I want to take away from the brother answering the question, but it just shows you how society is, especially when it pertains to the music industry. I kid you not. That is the very first time I heard that song, but do you know how many times I've heard Put a Ring on It or Surfboard
Before,
or
yeah.
My Love on Top? But see, you notice,
yeah.
the radio doesn't, you know, they don't really, you know, put out, you know, that song, the daddy song. I thought that was a great song. Listening to it, I said, wow. And that's why I said I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that was
right.
But, you know, the music industry doesn't want to, you know, shine a light on that. They'd rather shine a light on, you know, things that are, you know, sexual and so forth. So,
of course.
You know, just a slight digression. That's all.
Well, you heard it first in the VIP.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Mark.
I did.
Look, even though it's like 14 years old. So yeah, Moss, thanks for that
ma'am.
Little insight. It's true. Did you hear the question? I need to repeat it again.
Okay, yeah, please repeat the question, please.
Sure. Okay, so pretty much what I was saying is, what kind of advice would you give to a dad who's having difficulty co-parenting their child in a situation where the mother is using the child as a pawn?
Okay. Hold on, before I dive into this, Pat, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line.
Yeah, he's here.
You wanna go for that? You want me to answer that?
I think brother, is it Cordona? Sorry, his name.
Cortonio.
Cortonio.
I think he hit a lot of main points I was gonna focus on as well. Try to have some kind of, you know, you guys have to compromise, first of all. And I want to speak from a personal experience. I think compromising and doing what's best in the child's interest, I think both parents should definitely try to, you know, resolve their issues on that. It should be focused on the child and not, you know, the mother or the father. And like you said, sometimes some mothers are vindictive and they tend to, you know, use the child against the father. But like he said, once again, you can also explore the avenue of going back to court. And most fathers don't know they have rights. And they don't want to deal
mm-hmm.
with the court. They don't want to go back and forth. So sometimes they'd be like, you know what? She want to take the child. She want to do whatever. I'm just going to get out of it and allow her to be a parent without him, fighting for his rights to his child. So I think, it's like a catch-22. You know, sometimes some fathers want to be there, but they don't want to go through the whole hassle of contacting the court, going to court, having, you know, attorneys and all that stuff involved. So, but you know, it's good for you, for both parents to sort of compromise and have a better understanding to do what's in the best, in the child's best interest.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yep.
Definitely.
Y'all some nice dads, because I'm telling you, some of these women, they're a mess. I'm sorry, ladies, but I got to be honest. I mean, I keep it real anyway, so it is what it is. Wow. Go ahead, sis. What were you going to say?
Okay. Well, we all saw the Tyrese situation play out in the media. That was the first time I ever heard about parenting alienation. And I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on the way he handled the situation. Should that have been something that he brought to social media, or should that have been something that you know, he just dealt with in the privacy of the court.
So this is Marv, and I would love to jump in on this first. You know, I got to say that, you know, when I saw the video, I don't know Tyrese personally. I don't know what his relationship with the mother of his child is. But when I saw that, it hurt my heart to see this man crying out in the manner that he did. Now, as men, as boys, we're taught that boys don't cry. We're taught not to show emotion.
We have the Cortonio today.
Taught, you know, you're not, you know, it's just, that's just not what boys do. And as we grow up, we continue, you know, to carry this with us and you know, this show, you know, this false bravado and you know, not show emotion. But when I saw this man cry, you know, and then I saw, you know, all the backlash. Again, I don't know what Tyrese's relationship is with all the individuals that clowned him and made fun of him on social media, but my heart went out to him. And as a father, you know, I really felt for that man. So, you know, I think that as I looked at that, I saw that as being a last resort for him, or what he felt was a last resort to get people to hear him and to understand what he's going through. And it felt bad. It didn't feel good at all to see this man crying out for help and to say, you know, that he just wants to be a father to his daughter. I have had experiences with men who have gone through that very same thing where all they wanted to do was be fathers to their children. And unfortunately, you know, the powers that be step in and don't allow them to. You know, if you think, right, for years, and this is going all the way back to when men went off to war, right, and the mom stayed home and took care of the kids, right, and the man wasn't there, they created this thing called social service, right, and they offered welfare, and they gave benefits to those that were in need. And then back in the day, what they would do is the social worker, because it wasn't separated, it was, you had what's now DCF and DTA. They were both together. It was one entity. And the social worker would come to the home and look through the home to make sure that the family didn't have any high-priced items. And at that time, it would have been a toaster or a TV or anything that was considered high-priced, and also make sure that there were no men's clothing in the home. So if there was a man in the house, that man had to take all his stuff, all of his belongings, bag them up, and leave the home until the social worker left, and then come back, right? So think about this. What was that doing? That was breaking families up. Because if mom is now getting benefits, right, she couldn't get them if there was a man in the home. It didn't matter if he wasn't working or not. If there was a man in the home, period, you didn't qualify for benefits. So dad had to leave. And if dad being in the home got in the way of mom getting benefits for the family, then she kicked dad out, said, hey, you got to get out of here. I need to get this money. So, you know, the institution was breaking up families, and it's been happening. It's been going on for years. So as we move forward to present day, it's still difficult for men to be heard. It's difficult for men to get services. I've been a single dad for years. I went to sign my daughter up for daycare. And at the time, she was about a year and a half. And I go in and I say, okay, I got everything that you guys requested. I got your list. I got her birth certificate, the bill, the ID. I got everything to get her signed up. Let's do it. And the first thing they said to me is, do you have – she looked through my paperwork and said, you're missing something. I said, what? She said, a letter from the court. I said, can I see that paper? And I looked at their list, and I said, there's nothing on here that says I need a letter from the court. Oh, well, you need a letter from the court that shows that you have custody. I said, well, why do I need that? Oh, because
wow.
We need to know
they already put you in a box.
Yeah. So I said, I mean, I brought everything that you asked for on the list, her birth certificate. I'm her dad. I signed the birth certificate. So why do I need a letter from the court? Well, you just need a letter from the court. I said, humor me. I know you're not going to show me. Right, I said, but do you ask mothers for this? She said, yes, we do. I said, can
no.
you show me one file? Pick one file and show me one file where you have a letter in that file from the court for that mom. the lady said, "You got to leave now. I'm calling security."
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we as men automatically, we got two strikes against us as fathers. So when we step up and we want to be good, positive role models and fathers to our children, we already got two strikes against us. So if you think about it, right, and if anyone ever has the time, go in family court and just sit there and listen to the cases that happen. A mom can mess up time and time and time again. A mom can go, you know, use drugs and go to rehab and come back and still get the kids back. Mom can beat the kids.
Oh, I know. I worked in foster care. Damn near
kill
them, honey. I
know. And still get them back. If dad gets arrested for drug distribution, he's banned. He's banished. He's off in the never, never land. He can't get them kids ever again. They don't want him to see the kids.
Right.
You know, again, going back to the Tyrese thing, when I saw that, it really hurt my heart because that's, you know, what I'm seeing, I'm not seeing Tyrese. What I'm seeing is a black man in pain, a black man who wants to be a father, a dad to his daughter. And I'm seeing him being shut out of his child's life. That's what I saw. So, I'm sorry for going on that rant.
No, we are definitely.
You know how you do. It's all good. It's all good.
Oh, yeah.
Cortonio.
And wait, Marv. Wait,
yes.
Real quick, sis. Marv, you made me think of the movie Claudine when you said that, you know, you used to have to hide the toaster and all that stuff. It took me right back to James Earl Jones and Diane Carroll.
Harlem, New York. But anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to do this Boston and New York argument again. But anyhow.
You started this. Yeah. How many films were shot in Boston?
They did start it.
A lot. Oh,
man, y'all going in.
Nonetheless, Broadway is here. Yes. So the Tyrese situation. I actually want everybody to kind of weigh in on that one. So I don't know who wants to go first. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. Marv, thank you. That was a lot of insight.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll jump in on
that. I'll go next
if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead. I see.
Sure.
Okay. So, yeah, Cortonio here. So what the brother just said, I'm sorry, what is your name? Is it Mark?
Marv. M-A-R-V.
M-A-R-G?
V, like Victor.
Oh, M-A-R-V, okay. Okay, cool. All right. So what the brother Marv was just saying, I mean, that's a chunk of what I was going to say. I thought it was rather unfortunate because I have Facebook. I don't go on there very often, but the few times I go on there, I happen to stumble across the video he put up. And I watched it for a little bit, and just like, you know, Marv said, like, I didn't look at Tyrese. I just looked at a brother who was just so emotionally broken down by the fact that he can't see his child. And then what appalled me the most is when I looked at the comments underneath, a lot of dudes are clowning him. And I said, you know what? You can't say anything unless you've been in his shoes. No man can ever speak on what it's like to not be able to see their child unless they went through it. And, you know, I've known brothers that have gone through it, and it's a very painful experience. And it just shows how fathers or black men have been, you know, more and more obsolete in society. Like, I'll just, you know, go on a slight digression, case in point, Father's Day. So when it comes to Mother's Day, there's a whole hoopla, buying gifts, dinners and all that, and no knock on the mothers, because there are a lot of single mothers and mothers that do a damn good job. But then when it comes to Father's Day, to be honest, when you go in the stores and you look for Father's Day cards, what kind of cards do you see? You see Homer Simpson, you see Peter Griffin, you see a lot of cards that, you know, pertain buffoonery when it comes to dads. Like, if it's not talking about a remote control or a bottle opener or a beer bottle or something. And I just say, wait a minute, why aren't fathers held in the same high regard as mothers? Like, I'll even give you a quick story. I have a son who's 15, and when he was in daycare or preschool, every year they would have the kids make Mother's Day cards. So, you know, I would get them on the weekends. Particular weekend I picked them up, it was Mother's Day weekend. All the kids made Mother's Day cards. So when I dropped them off, you know, his mother saw the card. No, okay, it's nice, da-da-da-da. The following month was Father's Day. So I come in, and I'm getting them ready and stuff. I said, Did you guys make Father's Day cards? No, I really didn't care, but I just wanted to see what the expression was. So his teacher said, I'll have him make you one.
Wow.
No, I mean, it's no big deal. I'm not stressing. I'm just asking. So when I came back the following Monday to get him, lo and behold, there was a card made for me. But my point was, no other child in that class, well, no one made a Father's Day card. So it's just, you know, sad how men have been just pushed back. But as far as the Tyrese situation, like I said, I thought it was very unfortunate. It was very heartbreaking. And I think he went on social media was to use that platform to let people know, listen, I'm a celebrity, I'm a black man, and I'm going through the same thing that y'all go through too. So don't think that I'm immune to it because of my status. Because I don't really believe in going on social media to put your business out there, but I think, you know, it served its purpose.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Right.
And what one thing that I did take from that, I remember him saying that everything was okay until he got married, until he was happily married, and that's when the ex-wife started tripping about the kid. I hate when women do that. I really do. It's not about you.
Right.
It's about those children.
What up the point,
the child.
That, there was no card made for you. And, you know, the first thing that I thought about is for women, like you said, but when you do that, you definitely make the child look at the mother at a whole different, you know, a whole nother light. That created an environment where you force the child to kind of hold the mom to a higher esteem as well. So that's really deep that you would say that. I never thought about that. I actually went through the reverse thing, and I always say that, you know, my sis can tell you, growing up without a father, you know, I had to sit through cards being made, and my father was dead, and I was, you know, my father died when I was six. So here,
right.
I went through it the kind of like the opposite way, but we ain't talking about the children aspect of it. We're talking about, you know, the parenting, but, you know, it's funny. Different places do things differently, but here, you know, they do for both, but they don't think about the fact that there's a lot of children in the home that don't have a father. Just sharing that. All right, so I would like to get your thoughts. 617. I would like to get your thoughts on the time you spend as well. Like I said, I want to.
Thank you. Yeah, no problem. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Initially, when I saw the post, I think Marvin and I had a conversation with the other guys. At first, I didn't know what to think. I'm like, I mean, is he going through? He must be going through it because, I mean, for him to be out here crying on social media and knowing how the internet is really, really bad, you know, all these memes and, you know, people being sensitive to his situation and not understanding, you know, what this man is going through. But at the same time, I stepped back for a little bit, and I said, what would I have done in his situation? I don't think I'll be going to social media. I think I'll be finding my support system in terms of people I'm close to, people who understand me, who could relate to my situation, and ask for help. And, I, you know, open, just be vulnerable and ask, listen, I need some assistance. I don't know what's going on. This is my situation. This is what's happening with me and my daughter and her mom. I need some assistance. Instead of going on social media, I don't think I would have done it. But he's a celebrity, right? He used his platform to bring his personal issue to some, you know, have some awareness. At the same time, like Cardona and Marv said, you know, it's about our rights. We're fathers. We all have this 50-50 sort of equality when it comes to our children. However, in the eyes of the court system, in the eyes of people in the community, black men are like ostracized. Like, no, you guys are deadbeat. We're not known for being nurturers. We are nurturers. Fathers in home makes a difference in the lives of the children. The children they perform more emotionally. They're stable. In school, they're more happy. They're, you know, things are happening with them. They excel in more areas of the lives that the fathers in home. And for me, I work with the system here. I work in the system, and I see how when we get, for example, we get cases, the cases are in the mother's name, whether the father has full custody or not. Nothing here we have is in the name of the father. Everything's in the mother's name. You know, that's kind of like how things are set up. So it just shows that despite everything that we've gone through, we still continue to be second-class citizens. Fathers don't do well. Every time I'm out in my community, I see a lot of fathers with their children, whether they're in the stroller, you know, waiting on the bus. And sometimes I step and I stop and I talk to them, hey, how you guys doing? I'm really proud of you. That's some things that we don't really get to hear all the time. I'm proud of you. All these, like, positive comments, it usually goes to mother. Like my brother said, single moms, you guys do a great job, but there's some fathers out there who are single fathers too who do excellent jobs, but once again, they still don't get that recognition. So for Tyrese, his situation, I wouldn't have gone online on social media. I think I would have definitely tried to use my support system to help me get over that and try to, you know, make sure things were good.
And you're right, because, you know, I always remember growing up with a friend in high school. We never heard anything about her mother, but her mom, her dad, rather, raised her brother. And, you know, especially when it's a girl, to me, I feel like, you know, girls go through things that men don't quite understand. But it doesn't mean that they can't raise that person.
Your phone, you're breaking up.
I also think that it's important as well because, you know, when it comes down to a man and his daughter's relationship, that's the one that teaches you how you should be taught by, you know, treated by a man, all of those things. So I definitely salute men who are single parenting their female child in particular. So thank you, everyone, for weighing in on that particular thing. Marv, you do workshops. I would like for you to tell us some of the things that you've experienced in doing those specific workshops. What might the topics be? What are those things that you feel like are needed to be discussed when you have those workshops? So if I came to one of those workshops, what would it look like for me?
So we do a bunch of different things. We conduct trainings on how to run the programming that we do, and we also do workshops where we teach people the importance of why they need to engage fathers. So if you came to one of those particular workshops, you know, you basically get an experience of a father being mistreated or mishandled, and it would give you an opportunity to think about some of your own biases, because we all have biases, you know, no matter what, mm-hmm. no matter what we say, you know, we all have biases, and some of us are able to recognize what those biases are and others aren't, you know, so it allows you an opportunity to come face to face with whatever those biases are, and then, you know, allow you opportunity to be able to think, to say, well, dang, wait a minute, you know, whoa, like I never realized that this is what I'm doing. So
right.
at the end of the situation, you know, you would come out of it, you know, basically with a better understanding of, you know, why it's important for fathers to be in their children's lives. We also will talk about, you know, your particular, you know, your situation, your life, you know, was your dad there? And, you know, if he wasn't there, or if there was not a good experience, you know, are there any resentments that you're harboring that you may or may not be recognized or even, you know, care to discuss, you know? So it's just important to us that we open up those doors to get people to think about, you know, those biases that they carry, and understand that if you had a hard life with your dad, or if your dad was abusive to you growing up, you know, are you transferring that onto any men that you work with?
And let me just jump in as well. And also, you have to understand, majority of the workers that work for the child welfare system, they're women. I think 80-90%. I believe the census came out a couple of years ago. I say 80-90%. So you have all these women who are working with men, predominantly in the inner city, you know, low income communities. And some of them have, like Marv said, their own biases, whether it's with their fathers or their brothers or cousins. And that counter transference happens during relationships, whether you may have a bad encounter with a man before, and all of a sudden, here's you got a case where there's potentially a verbal escalation, and they consider that a DV in home. Your automatic thought is, listen, you're going to tell the mother to file a 209A, which is a restraining order to get the father out of the home without you even investigating. To even investigate the situation to find out what's really happening in the home. And then, so what we try to do also is try to tell them, listen, you have to engage these men, whether it's a DV situation, whether it's, you know, what neglect or abuse, whatever the case may be, whatever the reason why you guys got involved, have to engage, have conversations, talk, you know, get familiar with them, because as much as you think you have all these things against them, they're looking at you like you're the enemy, like you're here to break up their family and take him out of the home. So engaging, having real positive conversations about what's going on, how you can help them. And don't go in there as an authority figure. Go in there as someone, listen, I'm here to help. I'm not here to break your family away. And that thing, that will calm their nerves and they'll feel more secure and, you know, ready to talk to you. But if you go in there as I'm the boss, I'm here, whatever I say goes, then I guarantee you things wouldn't work out as, you know, as you plan. So engaging them is really one of the things that we also try to focus on.
Let me jump in real quick. So I'm an educator in the school system, and I've seen firsthand the product of children growing up in fatherless homes. And I know I've always been told, the old adage goes, a girl's first love should be her father, which I tend to agree with. Real quick, so can we curse on the show or no?
Yes, you can. I do all the time.
Okay. No, so... The school that I used to work at, I worked there for years. It was a behavioral school. And a lot of the students I serviced were, you know, a lot of them were students between the ages of 14 and 16. A lot of them were girls. And when I tell you that by the time they were 15, 16, they were smoking, drinking, sucking, fucking, by the time they were that age, and when you did further investigation, the common denominator was there was no father in the home. And I don't relegate it to just you being there. I mean, like, even if you're a father that sees their child on the weekends, keeps in touch with them during the week, but there was none of that at all. I mean, we've had meetings. Oh, yeah, her father's not here. His father's not in the picture. His father's this. His father's that. And it's just really sad. And, you know, just looking at it and seeing how the lack of a father manifests itself in their behavior, it was very, very eye-opening. I mean, very eye-opening. And it even got to the point where the female staff that I worked with would try to reprimand these kids, and they got tuned out. Why? Because they probably hear it so much at home from their mothers or their aunts that they don't know what it's like to have a man any authority. And I don't necessarily mean ruling with an iron fist, but even a man redirecting them, hey, let me talk to you real quick. That's not a good idea. Hey, you know, don't do that, or whatever the case is. They're used to hearing it at home. So when, you know, the teachers tell them and try to redirect them, they tune them out because that's all they know. All they hear is women, 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 women all the time in their ear. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, me, like, I've been doing this for years. And I've seen the product of it, you know, and it's very sad in this society.
Right,
that's deep.
And then
just
I also think
that.
It's about the approach as well. You know, like, children will tune you out if you approach them, you know, in a, you know, your tone, a lot of things. You know, so people got to think about that too. Educators need to think about that. Educators need to remember that they were kids also. And you don't cross every T and dot every I, you know, so that's definitely, you know, major where that's concerned if you really want to reach kids.
No, you're very right. You're very right.
You have to make them feel like you can relate to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
And not talk at them, talk to them.
But no, you're
right.
But the point I was more gearing towards was they hear so much redirection at home is that if their teacher tried to redirect them, even something simple, they're like, whatever, whatever. Even if you try to give them advice, like say the teacher next door, black woman, will pull a girl aside and try to talk to her and give her advice, or talk to a young brother and give him advice. It's kind of like, whatever, because, you know, that's all they hear. So it's like you're not saying nothing new. But as opposed to if a man did it, they might be more receptive because they're like, wow, well, this is a voice I don't hear every day because all I have at home is mom, nana, auntie, my older sisters. Like, it's a very estrogen-filled environment, and there's no testosterone there at all.
Definitely. That's so true. Like the point that I made earlier, how my husband's daughter's mom would call all the way to New York from Georgia so that he could discipline her over the phone. But this child was in the house with her. She, you know, she listened to her dad. Yeah, so that I definitely understand what you're saying. But I wanted to make a point because I personally feel that that's why some girls can be very promiscuous because they're looking for, you know, love from a male that they didn't get from their dad.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Wow. This is why it's very important for the men to be in these children's lives. It really, really is. And I want to, I just want to pause for a second because, I mean, I've known Mar for about a year now. And one thing that I can say, you know, I can't speak for the other two because I'm just meeting you guys for the first time, but Marv talks about his kids all the time. And, I mean, like, all the time. Like, you can't know Marv and don't know that he has kids. And here's the thing. Unfortunately, there are men that you do, you know, some people know and it's like, oh, you got kids? I didn't know that. You know, so his kids are his world. And I think that that's an awesome thing. And I, you know, like I said earlier, before Marv got on, that I just really wish that we could see more of that. And I don't think that it's because it barely exists. I just think that it's because a lot of people shed so much negativity on what men are not doing. And like I said, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. If you're not doing it, you're not doing it. But they shed so much light on what's not happening that it's almost like, oh, they really are good dads? Like, for real, you know, and then to take the extra step like what you guys are doing to, you know, you with the blogging, you know, that's making people aware. And, you know, like Marv with the 365, that's making people aware that, hey, guess what? We really do exist. This is, you know, this is for real, you know. So I love it.
I just have a quick question, and I may open up a can of worms or I may not. But to the brothers that are on this show and as well as to, you know, to both your sisters, what is your take on child support as far as the means and the necessities and what it's supposed to be used for? Do you guys think women tend to abuse it and take liberties on it? Or do you think, you know, it should go like into the child's account and then if the child needs it, like, what is your take on that? Because I've heard a lot of varying opinions on the base of child support.
I think it depends on the situation. That's what I think. I think it depends on the situation. Like I said, there are women who abuse certain situations, and, you know, that's what they do, unfortunately. And it's often is wrong. But then there are situations where, you know, one of my sisters is dealing with that right now because her father's child does not take care of him. So at the end of the day, I know in a situation like hers, whatever little monies that she does get, she's going to do right by her child where that money is concerned. But everybody's different. So I just feel like it's not a one size fits all. I think, like I said, some women are very vindictive and they do some off stuff.
And get their hair done, get, you know, go shopping and ball out on the child support money.
Right. So that's my, you know, that's my thought on it. But I definitely want to hear a little bit more from the other guests of ours from 365 Dad. I definitely want to hear you weigh in a little bit more.
This is Patrick.
You chime in on
Patrick? Yeah.
Patrick. Oh.
Yeah. Child support. it's a very touchy subject. Like you said, you know, every case is different. That is true. I have three children. I've never been on child support. And it's not because, you know, I think it's one reason for me personally. I like to, you know, people and give them my personal example because, you know, kind of like, you know, my experience with it. I've never been on it. My kids, they do everything. I do everything with them. Whatever mom needs, she gets. If they're with them, if they're with the moms, they're with the moms. If mom needs something, they call me or whatever they have. I also have a credit card that the moms have. So there's a limit on it. If you need something, I'm not available, use it. But there's no, like, oh, Patrick, you need to pay, you know, like, we need this money from you every month. That doesn't work because I'm there. I'm 24/7. I'm everything. So there's no reason for me to pay child support when I'm doing everything for my children. And plus, whatever you need, if you do spend money sometimes, I reimburse you. If you want to do it on your own, that's fine. But you can't put me on child support. I'm already doing the things that I'm supposed to do. But for cases where fathers aren't available and, you know, they're making money, they don't want to be a part of the kids' lives, I mean, in tough situations where the mother needs the money, I would say yes. But at the same time, some fathers don't have. And then if you don't pay that money, you know, you can't get your license. You can't get a job. And then, you know, everything trickles down from there. So in some situations, it is good. In some situations, some people are being vindictive. So it's just like, you know, it's all about, you know, what's going on, how people handle situations. For me, I really don't care about it.
Great answer. Well, guys, we would love for you guys to tell everyone where they can reach you at.
Right, but before you do that, I just wanted to ask, from the three of you, Patrick, Marv, Cortonio, in our closing, what message would you like to send to, you can either the dad who's doing the right thing or the dad who you feel is not, like what type of message would you think you would be able to share with them to try to kind of get them on the right path, or either if they're already on the right path, just give them that further encouragement?
To the dads who are doing the right thing, I'd say keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop doing what you're doing because there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. So even if the mom is being vindictive and, you know, being spiteful and using the child as bait and as a pawn, just keep doing what you're doing because you know what? At the end of the day, the child eventually will want answers and will seek you out, and you're able to talk to the child and give them some insight as to what's been going on. So just keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Don't get deterred. Don't get discouraged. And, you know, and I'm a very spiritual person. If you need to pray and speak to God, by all means do so because, you know, he always has an answer for you. For the men who are not doing it, I'd say do it because, I mean, you know, men just need to be there. Like this is not a matriarchal society. It's supposed to be for both parents. And if you're not doing it, you need to do it because you know what? How would you feel one day to know that your child has become wildly successful? Like, say, for instance, like I've seen athletes go and thank their moms, or when celebrities win awards, I like to thank my mom. Like Kevin Durant, case in point. He said to his mom, "You the real MVP." You know, and he made no mention of his dad. He said to his mom, "You the real MVP." So to the dads who are not doing it, just step up and do it, man, you know, because regardless of anything, you laid down to have this child. So it's your responsibility to see to it that the child is getting what they need.
Absolutely. Patrick?
Oh, man, that's a good one. With me, I think for guys who are doing, you know, their duties, I think it's important to continue to do what you need to do, and also, you know, surround yourself with people who are doing similar things as you. Try to have a support system. This is why, like Marv, X, Conrad, Wale, like I can reach out to them anytime I'm having issues. Try to, you know, support others. You know, be there for people. If you see people struggling, if you know you're doing the right things, if you know you've you know, gained some skills on how to effectively talk to your baby's mothers or your whoever, you know, try to tell them, pass it on. You know, they can use that from you. So, you know, and for women who are doing it alone, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, continue to do that. Sometimes, you know, the man may not be around. He may be in prison. He may be deported to another country, and you have to do it. So,
yes.
You know, just continue to strive and, yeah.
Okay. Marv?
What I would say, the takeaway is, you know, to take the time to think about what's going to be most important in the child's life. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be most important in that child's life as you make the decision to say, you know, dad can't be around, you don't want him around, or whatever the case may be, think about how it's going to affect that child. And the best way for you to do that is think about how it may have affected your life if your mom did that to your dad. How has it affected you? What was the trauma that you experienced and, you know, you're continue to experience? Because, you know, I've learned, you know, from doing this work that now, you know, once you gain that trauma, if it's unaddressed, it's gonna keep affecting you as you continue on in life until you address it. And that trauma is going to come out in various ways. So you got to think about how it may have affected you not having your dad around. And then think about your child. Don't think about, you know, oh, well, he got a new girlfriend and I'm mad because he left me or he cheated on me. So I'm mad. So I'm not going to let him see his kid, because that's going to affect the child ultimately. It will affect dad, but it's going to hurt the child even more than it's going to hurt dad. So, you know, that's the takeaway that I want to give.
Okie dokie. All right.
So, Marv, do you speak to women as well?
Say it again.
Do you speak to women as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Great.
So
let us know
before we close
where the people can find
you.
Men.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so. Most of the people know you can find me here at the radio station at WZBR. We have a Facebook page, 365dad.life, L-I-F-E. We also have a website, 365dad.life, or you can call and catch us here at the station, 617-238-7105, 617-238-7105. 7105.
Yeah, and we also have the Instagram page too, 365.life as well. So.
Okay, dot life, because I was trying to find it. Okay. And Mr. Fortonio?
You can reach us at opinionatedmail.com. It's all one word, opinionatedmail.com. We're on Twitter at opinionatedmail. We have Instagram, and we're on Facebook. And to the listeners out there, if you would like to drop a guest post, you can submit your guest post to opinionatedmail@gmail.com. You can write about whatever you want, because our blog site pretty much covers relationships, current events, sports, sex, pop culture, you name it. So, you know, to the listeners out there, if you want to drop us a line, you most certainly can.
Thank you.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. And we probably gonna have to snatch y'all to have y'all come back, because this is a topic that means a lot to us. And we've kind of delved into this
topic a little bit before, but a little different, because we talked with dads who, you know, were incarcerated.
Were incarcerated.
How did they build their relationship with their kids? So we definitely want you guys to know that if there's any way that we can support you, let us know. You have our contact information, you know, and just keep on doing what you're doing. We definitely salute you, and thank you so much for being on the VIP tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Have a great evening, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, y'all be good.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Good night. Sis?
Yep. So, sis.
That was awesome.
It definitely was. I see your auntie is here. Hey, Ma. And I see we have a 7289. Not sure who that is. Never even seen this area code before. So 7289, thank you so much for joining the VIP. I don't know if that's Courtney. I know Courtney was hitting me up.
You want to open the line
Facebook,
to see if they had anything to say?
I'm not quite sure. They just disappeared. So I don't know. But what I did want to do, sis, I know that you definitely wanted to get into India RE. So we're going to play India RE, Good Man, dedicated to all of the awesome men out there who are doing their jobs as fathers. We know that it does not come with a manual, but we know that you're doing your thing, and we just want to say that we salute you. And after you hear that, we will be gone for the day until next Thursday. So, again, thank you.
First day I met you, we were so young. You were a blessing, there was no guessing. You were the one. Love was so crazy, we had a baby and said our vows. That's when you told me, should anything happen, I can hear you now. You told me if the sun comes up and I'm not home, be strong. Beside you, do your best to carry on. Tell the kids about me when they're old enough to understand. Tell them that their daddy was a good man. Stand under it, I can't help but wonder if you see it where you are. For whatever reason, we don't see the seasons change again. Go there with peace of mind, we'll meet on the other side. Cause true love don't win. Oh baby, if the sun comes up and you're not home, I'll be strong. If you're not beside me, I'll do my best to. Tell your kids about me when they're old enough to.
Thank you for spending time on the VIP with Unique Emeka. You can find us here every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. for the VIP experience. Bring a friend or look us up on Instagram and Facebook under Unique Emeka, spelled YOUNEIKMEKHA, or on Twitter under VIP.UniqueEmeka. And if you don't believe anything else, please believe that you are a VIP through trial and triumph. Thanks again for joining us.